Nostalgia Critic.
No, we're not. We're Data Transfer. And it's season 2, episode 16, and I'm Audrey.
And I'm Corla, and I'm fucking sick. And I'm tired of it already. God. It's been 2 days, and I want to fucking rip every single fucking lymph node out of my face and
fuck
throat.
A node.
Fuck a lymph node. What do I need lymph for?
For capturing bacteria and shit.
Shut up, nerd. My throat is swollen and I hate it.
It's crazy. It sucks.
I've been having to fucking deal with Christmas time shopping, just trying to get some cold meds.
Awful.
I'm still miserable despite those. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm in the midst of the Christmas shopping season on the retail end of things, and I had a shitty interaction with a guest the other day. Would you like to hear about it?
Yes.
So this woman comes in, and she's like, I'm thinking about buying this bed, but I want to make sure that the wood tones match with this other thing that I have.
This is a different dipshit.
Yeah, different dipshit. And she's like, I just want to make sure that this is going to be a complimentary wood tone to the... And I just, you know, this is the kind of stupid minutia that I deal with all day. It's like, buy it or don't. Like, if it... Like, your bedroom does not have to look like a designer. You know what I mean? And, like, wood tones are such, like, a minute thing. You get something in the neighborhood. That's all you have to do. And I'm saying this as somebody with, you know, the tiniest amount possible of design background. You just gotta kind of get in the neighborhood, you know. It doesn't have to match perfectly, so I help her with this.
Unless you're having like state fucking foreign ambassadors over, no one's gonna be critiquing the wood paneling.
Exactly. So
and
I'm
if
like,
they are, you need better family and friends.
So I'm working it out with her, and I convince her that yes, it does work, and it's totally fine, and you should definitely purchase this bed in this color. And she's like, okay. Well, I'm gonna think about it. Just, you know, I'll let you know. And then she said, I'll just order it. And then she said, if I decide, I'll order it online. And I said, oh, no, you will not. Because I just spent 40 minutes with you figuring out this wood tone thing. And you are definitely not going to order online after I did all this work for you. Because I only get the credit for the sale if she buys from me in the store.
Right.
So I tell her all that. I was like, listen, you can order it online, definitely, but if anything would go wrong with the order, you would have to call online customer service and wait on hold for 45 minutes and get an inept asshole who doesn't know what they're doing. Or you could order it from me and get somebody who's very experienced in process and can get your, you know, issue resolved easily. Otherwise, I can't do anything to it if you order online.
She it's goes, hard to make that point without sounding like a protection racket.
Yeah, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, I can't help you if you go through the other guys, you know?
But so she agrees. She says, yeah, I'll, you know, if I buy it, I'll come back and buy it from you. I go, perfect. And this was like a month and a half ago. She comes in yesterday. I'm like harried because I'm the only one on the furniture floor from 4:30 to 9.
Yep.
They really fucked up the schedule, and it's like me alone for 5 hours on the furniture floor. So anything that needs done. Can you help me with this? Yeah, okay, yeah, let's pick out a fucking swatch for your stupid fuck you. But she comes in, she's like, I am gonna go ahead and buy the bed. And I want to get the matching bench, and I want to get this sofa, and I want to get the dresser, and I want to get this big sale, like $7,000, something like that. Going to be great for me. Going to be a good look for me. And we get to the part where she's about to pay, and she goes, so my mother-in-law gave me a picture of her credit card. Can I use that? And I was like,
what?
No.
Fucking what?
She's like, yeah, my mother-in-law wants to buy it for me. And she gave me a picture of her credit card. And I said, no. And she's like, well, you know, I did come back to the store so that I could buy it through you. And, you know, I wanted to whatever, right? And I go, well, let me tell you this. If we ring it the way... it's happening, meaning an in-person sale, then we can't enter a credit card number because it expects you to have the credit card on hand when you buy with a credit card.
Right.
Now, if I were to ring it as a phone sale, I could go ahead and enter that, but that would be something called credit fraud. Like ringing a sale off of a credit card that's not present.
Right.
And she's like,
in the name of a person who's not present. Right.
She's like, well, I wouldn't want you to get in trouble. And I said, I'm not going to. Because we're not going to do it. If she can give me a call later on and give me the credit card number herself. And I even kind of gave her like a wink wink on that. I was like, if you can call me back later and we'll ring it as a phone sale and we'll do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Act like I'm Susan's mother-in-law. Or something. You know, just give me something. I can't stand here and do a phone sale with a picture of a credit card that's asinine. And she kind of just storms off and she's like, well, I mean, if you won't help me, then I'll just go ahead and order it online. I said, enjoy. So that's the kind of shit I'm dealing with.
Man.
People showing up with a, you can't show up to a store with a picture of a credit card and buy something with it. Are you stupid?
Apparently. I mean, just rich people never have to think about this shit.
Right. Really stupid shit. I was like, man, I almost let it ruin my evening. But then I had to go help another stupid asshole with their stupid asshole problem.
Yeah. It's almost like most people who go to your place of work are contemptible human beings.
Yeah. Real scum of the earth.
Just like, yeah, just the worst kind of socially inept fucking entitled fuckers.
My other favorite thing that happens lately is like I'll say hi to somebody and they'll diligently not make eye contact with me and act like I didn't say anything to them. Hi, how's it going? And they just like look down and away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, okay, sorry a trans person said hi. Sorry a tran works here. Sorry.
I hope you get... this. Audrey's got a swanky option that might happen in L.A.
Yeah.
A long shot option.
It's a real long shot, and it's a real... there's a lot of competition for this particular thing, and they only pick one. So I've written my little letter of my submission letter for the thing, and we'll
my see. Little subby letter,
my little subby letter,
sub letter.
And you know, who knows?
Hey, you spent 7 minutes on you. I spent 1 minute on me. I'm gonna talk about my video games.
Please do. Actually. Sorry, I didn't expect that to go as long as it did.
We tried this before, and then I said some dumb shit that needed to go, and so I just paraphrased. But now it's me again. It's me. It's Corla. Hello, everyone's favorite little creature.
Definitely mine.
I've been playing Factorio again. The first time I played through, I was trying to get as many achievements as I could the first time around. So like, don't put down laser turrets. Don't put down solar power. Don't use any logistic systems until you get science from one of the non-primary planets.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my god, specifically the planet I went to, Fulgora, is one you really want bots because space is limited and power isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's A-okay to power a bunch of robots moving stuff around for you. Maybe energy inefficient, but there's lightning everywhere, always. You're fine. You have energy. And so I was doing that shit all by belt the first time, and it sucked ass. And now I'm doing it. Well, actually, I'm on Volcanus first, but doing shit with bots from the get-go, from the start, and also like knowing what my productions are going to be, what resources I'm going to need to route where. It's just so nice to come at all of these logistical problems with knowing how I did it the first time and a lot of ideas of how to do it better this time. Or at least more interestingly, on the main planet, I'm putting every resource on a train. Fluid, solid, fucking takes up, like, each one takes up a full inventory space, doesn't matter. They're all going on trains.
Trains.
And that's not very efficient, necessarily. There's some items that you might as well just move point to point with a belt.
Do you have Spider-Trons yet?
No, I have to go to Gleba, and I hate Gleba. Gleba sucks. Fuck Gleba. I hate it. It sucks. Fuck Gleba. I hate it. It sucks. Fuck Gleba.
How much you want to bet there's a listener of ours named Gleba, and they're just, like, really upset to hear you say that?
Listen, I'm sorry. Get another name.
I'm sorry, Gleba.
As queer folk, we can try names all we... I mean, anyone can, but as queer folk, we are encouraged to try new names more so than cis, non-queer folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Aloysius O'Hare. The man found a way to... I'm fucking out of it. I'm so
You're
sick.
You're off that cold medicine.
I'm not even on the nighttime cold medicine that make you feel good and sleepy. I'm on the day stuff that, like... lets you wallow in the misery while at least letting you breathe through your nose.
It lets you feel edgy and breathe.
Yeah. Edge. We were talking about Catherine earlier today.
Yeah. Somebody was talking about how NyQuil gives you what they call edgy sleep.
Yeah.
Where you're like kind of, but you're asleep.
Yeah, or the where it's hard to get to sleep because, like, parts of your body just want to move at random, and you have to, particularly, like, in the form of restless leg syndrome, but that'll happen to me all over. Sometimes I'll have to do a Terry Crews peck dance to get my brain to shut up, like, let me try to sleep again.
Oh, that's funny.
That may be an OCD thing now I think about it. That may just be me. But yeah, sleeping takes me a while because I have to do a bunch of random rituals my brain comes up with when I lay down.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I now have the one where when I leave the house, if I don't go back and check to see if the door's locked, I'm real upset about it all day.
Oh, that's short-term memory and anxiety issues.
Oh, cool. Good.
And OCD.
And OCD. At least I know it might not be OCD.
These things are, what's the word? Comorbid.
Comorbid.
I don't know why I'm saying comorbid while I'm doing the sign for scissoring. They're but
comorbid.
Are they, you know, comorbid?
Are they, you know, comorbid?
Why are you frotting? trying to get one finger under the fingernail of another.
Docking.
Docking rips. Can we talk about docking real quick?
Sure. I have a wiener of a size that could potentially dock to another wiener.
Uh-huh. Mine's not of great size or import, but it is.
It's important to me.
It has excess skin. And it's not, that skin is not tight at all. You can fucking move that stuff around like bell bottoms. Like stretchy bell bottoms. The point is, it can definitely like sells tail on the androids another penis. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Where he slurps them up through the tail. The needle opens up and he's like, I've become perfect.
So, when I was a little baby, the doctor asked my mom, hey, do you want to circumcise your kid? And she was like, she thought about it, and she goes, yeah, let's go for it. But can you leave them a little?
What my dad said.
Yeah. I don't want it all tight.
I don't want it all tight. I need you to leave some.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I got. So I got bell-bottom dick, too.
Same person syndrome strikes again. I love this.
This one's a crazy one too. This is weird.
we should have like a docking battle where we're just both stretched out like a thumb wars, but with our weenings.
Oh, that's great. 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a ween war. We're just laying with like our leg, we're laying like we would be scissoring, but we're just like fighting with our fucking penis.
I had a very well-endowed partner after I started HRT, and she liked to compare her very large penis to my much smaller penis. Mm-hmm. To be like, wow, that's like a third. Look at that shit. You're like really small. I'm like, shut up.
She had a magnum dong, though.
She had plenty of skin, so she could just fucking roll it all the way over mine. And I was like, holy shit.
That's crazy. You're not docking, you're airlocking.
That's a like-like from Zelda, baby. Oh, my God.
Like-like got me good.
Do you want to talk about Digimon? Sure. 15 minutes into the docking podcast.
Let's talk about Digimon. This episode is entitled 20,000 Leagues Under the Digi-Sea, or what we saw, 20,000 Digi-Leagues, rather, under the sea, or what we saw, the Japanese version, Submarimon's Escape from the Bottom of the Sea. Kind of blowing the whole story there in the title.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
I'll expand your dick so we can talk.
So we can talk better. And yeah, I kind of get it. This episode's like a weird little bottle, you know? Nothing.
It is a bottle episode. They're in the fucking underwater research base from Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah.
They're in outer heaven.
Yeah, Bahamut's down there. So searching for a new Digi-Egg, Mega Seedramon traps the kids under an oil platform under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Where we'll all die.
Where we'll all die. We're gonna die. Oh, I don't wanna die.
Specifically, Mega Seedramon is starving them of oxygen rather than just breaking the tower and killing or drowning them.
And that's really the first piece of dialogue. So like the episode opens and it's you see the oil rig from the distance, and you see part of it broken off laying in the water, and you're kinda like, uh oh, that's probably not good. And then you get the shot of Mega Seedramon swimming around the outside of it. And then it cuts the kids on the inside. Around the outside. It cuts to the inside of the thing. And the kids are like, why isn't he attacking? And I can't remember which one. I think it might have been Yole who was like, or no, it was Yole was like, why isn't he attacking? And TK goes, well, he just has to wait.
Yeah, it's like really dark.
Yeah, we're going to suffocate under the sea. That's no good.
Oh, God, I see.
And then it does what the screenplay from The Lighthouse Keeper in Rick and Morty does, and it cuts to 3 hours earlier.
Cuts. You like that? You want to cut back to 2 weeks earlier when you were fucking alive? We like Rick and Morty. I don't know if you know that about us.
We enjoy it.
Audrey
we
and me. If this is your first episode, welcome. Hi, we like Rick and Morty. We won't shut up about it.
We just reference it all the time. I'm always getting swifty.
Audrey's alien sona would be a Meeseeks.
Interesting. Or would I be... I am a helper. Maybe I'd be a Gromflamite because I like mantises. They're cool.
What's the...
I think the Gromflamites are the Federation race, right?
Gazorpazorps.
Yeah, I would be a lady Gazorpazorp. You'd be a femme Gazorpazorp.
They just don't have any furry bunny aliens in Rick and Morty. It's all gross shit.
Yeah, it's all a lot of flesh creatures.
Yeah,
and
it's somewhere blobs. Between like Star Wars rubber foreheads, or Star Trek rubber foreheads, and like Cronenberg.
Yeah,
the thing.
What was it talking about? Oh, yeah. So it cuts to...
Docking?
It cuts to 3 hours earlier, and they're just on this oil platform, and Cody's D3 goes off. Iori's D3 goes off, and it's like, hey, the Digimental of... in the English, it's reliability, but in the Japanese, it's faithfulness. Is down there. We gotta go get it. And so then they go into the facility, and... Mega Seedramon just happens to be swimming by with a dark spiral and, like, spots the kids. I can't remember exactly how that happened. I guess he saw them before they went down.
Yeah, no, he's been patrolling around the tower because he knows they're in there.
Oh, yeah, and he knows the Digimental is in there, I would imagine.
After the Emperor's like, hey, actually kill them, though. Like, do your own thing, but I gotta focus on my thing right now.
Yeah.
So murder them.
Yeah, he's got
just like, okay, I'll poke holes in the tower.
He's got something big in the works, and we don't know what that is.
Yeah, something to do with Airdramon. He keeps cutting back to that.
Yeah, maybe Airdramon's going to get a Digivolution. Like yeah, he likes those. Maybe Airdramon's going to get an evil Digivolution.
Oh, I wonder what Airdramon digivolves into. I can't think off the top of my head what it would be. Maybe yeah. Daramon?
Maybe no? Daramon.
Is that an ultimate? I think that's an ultimate.
I know Raramon's an ultimate, which is crazy.
Raramon's an... Hold up.
Raramon's an ultimate. Ikakumon has to digivolve into Zudamon to
it's a champion. Fight him. Raramon's
a champion?
You're thinking Zudamon.
No,
Raramon is the fucking the biomechanical monster. Gloop creature. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking of, but I thought he was a damn ultimate.
There's rare Raramon, which is an ultimate and is horrifying. Jesus Christ.
I like it. I like that.
I'm gonna send you rare Raramon. Look at this shit.
Yo, I love him.
He's got like the fucking the relinquished eye down in the bottom right.
Yeah, he's very he's got very like human occupied landfill, if you know that game at all.
No.
It's called Hole. Human occupied landfill. It's great.
Hole.
So he's just like circling around the thing, and then they find like just in the room with them an escape pod the kids do, and they're all like, "Hey, Iori, yes."
Do you want to see his in training for him?
Sure.
You see Raramon's in training.
Yeah,
it's Pagumon. So I love he's Pagumon. A fucking Gazimon Digivolution then.
That would be crazy. What if
that's gonna suck? You go from tiny cute thing to pretty like cool cute, like basically an evil Numono.
Yeah.
To sludge monster to fucking Beelzebub, Lord of Pestilence.
I would like a virus team on a season. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they've ever done that, but I want that very badly.
Yeah, I think it'd be sick. So where was I? Oh, they find this escape pod and they're like, "Hey, Iori, get the fuck in the escape pod, man. Are you in shock?"
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Wormmon's a virus type. Who He's is? Such a good little guy. Wormmon.
Yeah, Wormmon. Yeah, of course.
He's a good little guy.
He's a good little boy. And that proves that like that typing does not determine their nature.
They don't have to be evil necessarily. Yeah. It's just mischievous. It's the difference between Seelie and Unseelie Fae.
Difference between Slytherin. Because Slytherin are not necessarily evil.
Slytherin and what?
And like Hufflepuff or some shit.
Okay. Alright. I don't know why we're doing Harry Potter.
That was another example of a not necessarily evil alignment kind of thing.
Fair enough.
I've lost my train of thought.
Again.
Once again. This one's all over the fucking place.
Docking.
And they're like, "Cody, fucking Iori, get in the escape pod." And he's like, "No."
You won.
And they're like, "Why not?" And he's like, "You're just doing it because I'm the youngest. This is bullshit. I should be able to, you know, die with dignity down here and rescue one of you assholes."
With the rest of you.
And so they choose Cody to go for help in the emergency pod, knowing that he needed to face his fear of water. That's not in the Japanese.
That's not in Japanese at all.
No. Though that would make a lot of sense with the thing that happens at the end. Did they just drop that as like a thing that we missed? That he has a fear of water?
I don't think so.
That's crazy.
That's dub shit, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. But so they go to draw straws. Like Yole has this idea. She's like, "I got an idea. Here's how we're gonna get Iori to go in the escape pod. I'm gonna set up a straw draw, but I'm gonna mark all the straws and make him go first."
And that's dumb.
And everyone kind of winks at each other, and they're all like, "Oh yeah, yeah, that's how we'll do it. Yeah, let's do it."
Anyone who does card tricks knows that you can like suggest to someone without saying anything which thing they should pick.
Sure.
Like you can game that without having to be that stupid.
Right.
What I'm saying is skill issue.
Yeah. And they do it, and they're like, let's draw straws. Here, you go first. And he pulls it, and it's marked. And he's like, oh. And, like, slaps the fucking straws out of Yole's hand, and they're all marked.
Daisuke's like, the one holding it, and crucially, he does not know about the ploy. He didn't fucking notice.
And in fact, before they go to draw straws, he's like, let's play rock, paper, scissors about it. And they're all like, no, let's draw straws. Because they had the plan. Everybody else had the plan, but Daisuke. But Daisuke's too dumb.
You can't cheat at rock, paper, scissors.
Unless you do this one. Have you ever do this one where you go to hit it and you... And then you see that they did paper and you go like that as you...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Of course.
Can't do that.
Of course I've done that before. I was a shitty child. We all were.
We all were shitty children. I figured that one out on the playground and was just fucking acing kids left and right. Why is she so good at this? Because I'm cheating.
I learned, much like the card trick example, to just kind of trick people into picking one I could predict.
Yeah. Or like, you both hit paper, then you both hit paper again, and then you have to game into what you're thinking they are thinking you are going to do next. And I just do paper again, because they're definitely thinking I'm going to do scissors. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't expect a three, and then as soon as you set a pattern, you got to break that pattern to fuck with them.
Yep. It's called a cross-up in fighting game terms, or a mix-up.
Yeah.
Mix-ups in
Digimon.
Fighting games.
Digimon Rumble Arena.
Iori gets out, or like, he's like, this is bullshit, I'm not going, I should be able to die with dignity like the rest of you fucking people. And TK goes, hey, I have an idea, and just grabs Iori's arm, and Daisuke grabs his other arm, and they just force him into the fucking escape pod. They're like, you're going, bud. He's like, no. But he makes it to like, the
hey, we don't have to lie. We can just bodily force this child.
We can just force this child to do what we want. And so he is in the pod and he's all mad about it. But then he gets to the surface. There just happens to be a TV by the surface when he goes out of the pod, and he goes and he's back in the real world. This is bullshit. He's going back to his house to go get I guess to like look at the phone book to get Joe's phone number or whatever.
I know what he's doing.
What's he doing?
He's going to the closet. He's going on a trip. He's going to his closet to grab his stuff and split.
You're adorable. He runs into his mom and his grandpa. And they're like, where are you going, young man? He's like, I can't tell you. And they're like,
if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Mom's like, you can't tell me? What's this shit? You better, you know, she's about to start doing some mom shit and be like, you better fucking tell me right now. I'm gonna beat the ass. And grandfather goes, no. If he can't tell us, he can't tell us. And it's better to have him keep a secret than to make him lie.
Yep. Which is not quite the message of the episode. That gets refined a bit later, but it does mark his grandpa as fucking cool.
Yeah, grandpa's a cool dude. He was really cool when they were doing kendo practice and he had to go.
Yeah, I think his grandpa thinks he's fucking someone.
his grandpa thinks
he has a girlfriend he's like skipping school with now. He's like, right. Did it at my age. What are you going to do? Stop him? Give him a weird complex? Just let him do it.
And it's like, his grandfather has this cool message about, like, trusting kids to, like, do the right thing or, like, yeah. It's pretty cool. So he goes to the cram school, which was a great piece of Japanese culture that I wasn't real familiar with, but it just
Japanese
totally makes
nightmare
sense.
Culture.
Yeah.
Cram schools are effectively mandatory even if you're doing well.
Woof. Learn shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe's in the middle of a test.
It's like fucking 1940s Britain as far as schooling goes.
like a boarding school?
Well, in the sense that it's literally just a meat grinder to put you into the office system.
Yeah. Make you docile and like praise driven, you know?
Train you to become servile to a company, exactly.
Right. That shit didn't work on me, and that's why my boss hates me.
Yeah. It worked on me, at least in the sense that I didn't raise any fuss when I was working anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I always had an idea of my worth as a person when I went to work, and that's why I was quick to quit several different jobs.
Sure.
Because, holy shit.
They just dehumanize you. Labor is dehumanizing.
Absolutely.
As it is currently constituted. Labor is not inherently dehumanizing, but the kind of alienated labor available at the entry level under capitalism, that is alienating and dehumanizing.
Yeah.
So Joe's in a test, and Iori goes to the front desk, and he's like, you gotta fucking call Joe for me right now. And he's
call
like,
call Joe
right now. And he's like, he's in a test, and we have a strict policy not to call people during a test unless it's like a family emergency or something. And I think I checked my phone for exactly like while the exact thing that happens.
Okay, so Iori doesn't say it, but like he is conflicted about the fact that he would clear it. Like the best thing to do would be to lie and say that, oh, it is a family emergency. Please call him. When it is not, in fact, to be fair, the DigiDestined should be considered a family, but yeah. under Japan's like social standards, no, he would be lying. So the point is, Grandpa said not to lie. He has to lie to save people. He feel bad about that.
Yes, that's the tension that's set up there. He explains the situation. He gets in touch with Joe, like they meet up, and then there's a scene of them running to go to the computer lab to warp to the digital world. And that's great. Joe's running with his long hair. Looks good. He's looking great. They warp back to the digital world, and then we cut back to the kids in the... What are you looking at?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. We cut back to the kids in the underwater base, and they're starting to get real panicky and sweaty, and like they're real upset when Mega Seedramon is like staring at him in the window. Just like.
Like, you know the shot of the T-Rex looking through the Jurassic Park?
Yeah, looking through the car window.
Yeah.
Just like that.
It's that.
It's exactly the water. That. When Mega Seedramon's kind of like gets distracted, and it's like, they're kind of wondering, what's going on? And it's Ikakumon swimming through the water, and he fires a harpoon missile at Mega Seedramon, who's, like, unaffected, but, like, what the hell is this, right?
Yeah.
So he goes to fight Ikakumon, who has no shot, like, not a chance at this.
None. He's even saying to himself, like, man, I kicked his ass when I was Zudomon.
Yeah,
I don't think I can do it like this, though.
Yeah, don't think I'm going to pull it off this time. But we find out that this is just a distraction because pounding his way through the wall of the underwater base is Waymon. And Waymon opens his mouth and out steps Iori and Joe. Very cool moment.
Boy, talk about docking.
That's more like airlocking. And so they step down and they're like, how did the Digimental come up? Like, was it when Waymon damaged?
While they were stuck waiting for Iori, they started digging for it.
And they found it.
Yeah, they found it. None of them could lift it. They're like, well, clearly it's for Iori.
Yeah. And Iori gets there and they're all like, hey, great timing. We just found the Digi
Egg.
We just found the Digi Egg. Get the egg. Would you like an egg in this trying time? And Iori's like, no, I can't take it.
I don't deserve this egg.
And everybody's like, hey,
Maria's
man.
Maria's last words.
Hey, man, we're all going to fucking
take an egg.
We're all going to fucking die. Like, you need to hurry up and take this egg. And he's like, no, I can't. I had to lie.
I had to lie to get to save you to get here.
And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ, just grab the egg. And Joe takes a much more gentle tack with him. And he's like, listen, there's, you know, sometimes there's lies that are bad. And sometimes there's lies that are good. And, you know, you lied to save your friends. And so that's what's known as a good lie.
It didn't hurt me.
Yeah, I was the one in the middle of a test. You know, I'm going to have to retake that test. I had to cram for that, like, for three
nights. He supposedly said, it didn't hurt me. Like, he can do that test again. There's a, they do it, like, once a day, probably.
Sure.
They schedule it, like, every day of the week, probably. Yeah. Ugh. God, I hate school.
School's
everywhere,
awful.
But Japan particular.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not in it anymore.
I have nightmares about it all the time.
All the time?
Like, every few days, sometimes multiple days in a row, I just have nightmares where I have to get the fuck out of high school for whatever reason.
It's almost like being neurodivergent in an American high school is like a traumatizing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially one as heavily policed as mine was.
Yeah, that sucks shit. The school resource officer body slammed a kid during a food fight.
Wow.
And got fired. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the children tore him apart and ate him as he deserved.
Ooh, that would have been so cool.
Lord of the Flies.
Dibs
Lord
on his eyes!
Ooh, that rhymes. Nice one. That's a real FF Doom. That's bars, babe.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. We go Lord of the Flies, dibs on his eyes, cut up and cook and serve up his thighs. So Iori eventually
long pig pies, long pork, excuse me, whatever.
Long pork pie.
Long pig. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. That would be a good. That's a great Doom follow up line.
Doom version of Sweeney Todd. MF Doom hip hop version of Sweeney Todd. Someone who's a really good, no AI, just someone who's a really good impersonator. Do this, thank you.
Yeah, please don't do it with AI. Don't burn down a forest for that.
Don't burn down a forest. It's not worth the joke.
Nope. Iori decides.
No, my thing again. I had a bit that I was very proud of, and I wanted to share with the listeners. Which is that Saint Patrick's Day is like the purge for bits. That's it. Thank you. Go on.
Saint Patrick's Day?
No, April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I'm gonna edit it so that I said it right the first time. we're gonna bleep it. We're gonna bleep it like I said something real fucked up.
That's funny. So Iori decides to take the Digimantle of Faithfulness, and Armadamon armor digivolves into Submarimon.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Describe Submarimon.
Sub. Dolphin.
You're about a sub dolphin.
About a sub dolphin. And so the sub dolphin and the missile walrus go and square up with Mega Seadramon. And they fight him.
You want your fish, babe? You got to do some tricks for me. Yeah, that's a good little dolphin slut.
I'm not a slicky. I'm not a slicky.
Slicky the slicky. That's just a dolphin who masturbates all
Yeah, that's true.
Time.
Dolphins do masturbate.
Like a lot, yeah.
Like kind of a lot. They're real sex-crazed animals.
They're like the bonobos of the sea.
Sea bonobos. It's almost like
sea
the
bonobo.
It's almost like the more your brain is developed, the more sensory-seeking behavior you engage in.
Oh, is this another one of those autism is like the next form of human evolution things?
Maybe.
That shows up in movies all the time for some fucking reason.
That's funny. But So the damn Digimon fight the fucking Mega Zedramon, and they blow up his dark spiral. Woo!
Kakumon teams up with Submarimon, and it's some actual kick-ass shit where they're like the whatever fish and a moray eel where they team up together to flush him out.
Oh, yeah.
It's sick as fuck. It's
pretty fucking cool. And they defeat the ring attached to him, and we both had a moment where we're like, he's still a Mega Seedramon. That's still kind of like a bad dude. He's just going to fight him still, well, but then he just kind of swims away.
Okay. Metal Seedramon was one of the Dark Four.
Right.
And when we saw Mega Seedramon before, he was like Myotismon's minion.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've ever seen one like feral, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I
just
guess
in the wild doing what they'll do.
The one in the lake, that the Seedramon in the lake,
yeah,
that fought
Seedramon in the lake was just chilling.
Garurumon, I think, had a dark gear.
Yeah, he may have had a dark gear. That may have been before they introduced them.
I think that the ones that
was like episode 3 or 4.
I think the ones that they fought did have dark gears before they introduced the concept of them.
Because if you remember, he doesn't attack. He doesn't come after them at first. He is sleeping, having a good time. His tail's on the island. They burn the shit out of his tail, and he flips out about it.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I don't know. Teach the controversy. So,
ding, CinemaSins, ding. I'm not getting a lap dance right now. Ding.
We are all over the place this episode.
I'm so sick.
It's terrible.
I don't think you understand. I'm sick. I have tooth pain. It's a lot.
You're in bad shape. I
respect
it. Bad
shape.
Someone
come over and make me soup.
They get together on the surface and they kind of celebrate their victory.
Swoop.
And then they go back to the real world, and that's the end of the episode.
It's the end. It's a good one.
It's pretty good. How good is it, Corla, on a scale of rookie to mega?
I'm going to give it an ultimate. We have a very strong emotional arc. We have not only... Okay. You know how a Mario level will give you a concept in a like a consequence-free environment at the start of the level, right? Mm-hmm. Like the rotating platforms or whatever. Just put one directly over safe land. You can mess with it however you want. And then it'll give you the same thing with a small pit. It'll give you the same thing with a small pit. And now, it'll give you the same thing, but now there's enemies you have to deal with. And then it'll combine all of those into a final like challenge stretch for the last half of the level.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but with the moral dilemma of the show, right? Or of the episode. Like, Iori wants to listen to his grandpa, he respects the hell out of him, and is respected in turn, but listening to like his words to the letter would have killed his friends.
Right.
And Joe comes in with the more nuanced take of, hey, sometimes you gotta lie, particularly to a system.
Yeah.
Like, systems aren't people. That's a legal fiction.
And they're typically not there to help you.
Sorry, corporations are... Plural systems are people, let me be clear.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, my wording was terrible there, and I'm so sorry. But yeah, corporations aren't people, companies aren't people. It's a good thing Brian Thompson is dead.
Free my man.
That wasn't actionable. The bitch is gone already.
Free my man. I'm gonna give it a fucking champion.
Really? Not a fan of this one? Not a fan of watching kids slowly suffocate?
Not typically, no. like, the inflection points in the episode are like, Iori's gonna draw straws, and they were gonna trick him.
To be fair, you were looking at your phone for the most emotionally impactful moment of the episode.
I guess that's true.
So I can understand why it might not have hit for you.
But it didn't keep me. You know what I mean? I wasn't as engaged as in previous episodes. And I was thinking about this. I really should be rating relative to the other episodes that we've had. Like, I sometimes do this.
That's a fair point. We gotta consider the context of the show before us.
Yeah.
There have been some bang-a-langers in the Ultimate.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a champion. Okay, you talk me into it.
I think it's a champion.
Champion.
And that's not the worst. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the worst episode. It just doesn't do the best things that Digimon does.
No. It's serviceable, and there was stuff I liked. But that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, Porn? I didn't mention the part of the synopsis where Submarimon swims Cody or Iori like through the sea cave and into like the jellyfish nexus. And he's like reveling in the beauty of the ocean. And there's like rays and fucking sea turtles and shit, which raises some questions about the ecology of the digital world.
Well, we know fish exist. Because of Gomamon.
And snakes. Because one of the Digimon remarks, there might be snakes in there.
There's a snake in my boot.
Yep, he does say that.
Woodymon.
Toymon, which is a Digimon.
Yeah. Porn?
Yep.
Pussy 2.
All right. We'll do the usual. Start with you and alternate. So I'm going to send you our first little bit here. There was no porn I could find of Submarimon. Aww. So we're doing a new theme today. This is my theme. Is the cool indie game Pseudo Regalia.
So I'm just going to describe some really cute pornography. Okay, this appears to be the protagonist, correct? This is the this is the main character of the game. Rendered as a big, chubby, big-titted, heavily lactating... nude creature woman with pretty muscular arms and gray flesh.
Her name is Sybil in the game. I have no idea what the fuck she's like doing in the game. I haven't played far enough to know the context.
And she has her big cross sword like between her tits, and she's, I think she might be splooshing onto something in the wider image, because like her pussy appears to be open, but I can't tell what she's.
She's either getting plowed or she's giving birth. One of the two.
Yeah. And she's looking pretty happy about it. She's got the shaded embarrassment or like enjoyment blush. And her eyes are crossed, and she has two exclamation points next to her head to indicate that she is surprised or excited.
I've scrolled down to the comments. Yes, this is like a public version of a paywalled post. First of all, second of all, it's cropped from the original image. So yeah, she's like birthing.
Oh, okay.
Presumably an egg. I don't know.
Could be an egg.
Can't see it.
Like, but the suggestion of her pussy being very open, that's very tantalizing to somebody who's into birth and eggs, I would imagine.
Yeah, I imagine. She is squirting milk out like crazy.
It's crazy.
She's got huge jugglers going.
Did you ever see the video of the Wook, or like the chick at the music festival squirting her breast milk all over the place, and then a Wook like kneels down in front of her and she sprays breast milk in his mouth?
Yeah, you've showed it to me before.
Yeah. I think it's really funny.
It is really funny. And a little hot. You know what else is funny? Hmm. You know what else is funny is hyper dicks and excessive cum.
Cool.
That's right. That's right, folks. So,
yo.
Here we go. This one's a lot. I wish I'd have saved this one for you. But, okay, so we have three of the little butler guys from Pseudo Regalia, and what the tags tell me is Sybil off to the left with just a big honking wiener that has jizzle jazzled all over the butler's butts, who are all like aligned, kneeling with their butts aligned on the ground and their massively oversized nuts resting on the floor.
with their scrotums kind of pooled around their scrotums are kind of pooled around their balls.
They're all blushing. They're you can see exactly one butthole and it's enormous. Just a big old puckered thing.
And the other two are of course obscured by all of the cum she has shot in their butts.
Yep. Just bubbling out, just blorp.
Blorping.
they all appear to be quite enjoying themselves. They're blushing. They're all. What is with me in the sounds today? I'm sick. Whatever. Next one.
There's
next
another.
One is okay. Porn. But I saw this and I started fucking clapping during the prep for the show like a seal. So here you go. Describe this to the listener.
Oh my God. Okay. We have two of the greatest protagonists in video game history. Sybil from Pseudo Regalia, and she's very toyetic in this. This is like a toy, right?
This is like an SFM.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So this is done in like Blender or SFM or something.
Yeah. She's got her cross sword and she's holding it by the one side and she's like pointing it at the camera. And she's got a mean look on her face, and right next to her with an equally mean look on his face, and an HEV suit, and a crowbar, it's Gordon Freeman.
Gordon, I'm thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
For the goat milf next to you. Oh, fuck.
We can use ropes to help me, Gordon.
Help me, Gordon. I'm shooting ropes, Gordon. These can help us get across pits.
Watch if Half-Life 2 AI Half-Life, was sentient.
Yeah, Half-Life VR AI for yeah. short.
Yeah, it's
very
great.
Good. It's very good funny. Shit. But, but yeah, I had to end it off with that because I saw her posing with Gordon Freeman and it made me like fucking squeal like a monkey. It's good shit.
Pretty funny.
We have one more segment before we hit the end of this.
That's right. It's the segment where we name our digital champion. Carlos.
So what's yours?
My digital champion is Grandpa.
Grandpa!
Grandpa, absolutely. For trusting Iori to do the right thing, and for being a cool granddad, and for drinking like applesauce or something out of that weird little pouch.
Oh, he's getting crunk.
He's just
let's
drunk
be real.
As
that
shit.
Man is day drinking.
I don't know.
He's at the end of his life. He's earned it.
Well, son, you better tell me what it is you're trying to hide. Don't fucking bother him. Get out of his face.
Let him smooch, old lady.
Let him smoke or whatever. I don't give a fuck. Who's your digital champion?
No, you sold me. It's got to... No, that's a lie. It's Gomamon. Gomamon's the goat in this episode, as he always is when he shows up. We don't see him as Gomamon, but Ikakumon is the fucking goat. He sacrifices himself to get them out of there, and even once he's been had the shit beat out of him, he joins the counter-offensive.
Yeah.
Once Submarimon's out there, and for that, he gets my digital champion for being the goat again.
At the very end of the episode... One more thing. At the very end of the episode...
One more thing.
Towards the end, when Submarimon is swimming away from the oil rig with Iori to show him the sea cave, Gomamon swims through the frame.
Yeah.
So you do see Gomamon briefly. But yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good boy.
What a good boy. Do we want to do plugs first, or do we want to do shout-outs for our Digidestined tier first?
Let's
which we forgot to do the last
before
two
we
episodes.
Lose people.
Before we lose them for not shouting them out two episodes in a row, our bad. Where
no, I just meant the listener retention drops off when we get to credits and shit.
This is true. And the people who are listening on 2x speed, stop doing that. Listen to it at regular speed,
or listen to it twice.
Yeah, you know what? If you're gonna
do it
half
twice
as
2x,
if you're gonna do it twice as fast, listen twice. You know what I'm saying?
Just listen back another time a month from now. It's fine. It helps us.
We'd like that. Like also,
that.
Rate and review.
We like you.
Rate and review. 5 stars, please. Various places.
Audrey, would you be willing to start us off on these patrons?
I would love to. Let me make sure I got the fucking sorry. make sure I
got. You got the full list. You posted it.
Okay.
It's just above the porn.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Saturday's Claire.
This penguin is a post-human bio-cyborg cat. I'm not mad about y'all for getting shout out of the Patreon twice, but I am mad about.
And it's cut off. I can't. I'll see if I can find it. Patreon wouldn't show it to me.
Oh dang!
Jubilation Lee.
Poplo Hummus.
Meesh.
Waylon the Sprite Smith.
Maya.
Teresa.
Bubba Nitro.
Gigi Savage.
My metamorph. Thank you for supporting us at the Digidestin tier. You truly are the Digi and Arman. And we love you very much for supporting us. That's so cool of you.
Go impregnate a furry.
Go impregnate a furry today. Today. You got to do it today.
You got to do it today. The coupon is void after 24 hours. We're handing it to you now. The clock starts now.
Now. So I have another podcast. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships hosted by me and my very good friend Donovan. We do heartfelt relationship advice as well as goofy japes and stupid jokes and dick and fart stuff. And we talk about sex and polyamory and gender. And it's a really good time. It's becoming an institution, I find. People are really, you know, people are really enjoying the show and we're really enjoying making it. So you should go check it out. Get in on the action.
Absolutely. It's great stuff.
RFTB.me.
And while you're listening to this, you better be prepping to cream pie of an ovulating furry.
Better do it.
We're counting on you. Yeah. We believe in you. Do it.
You can make this happen today.
Meanwhile, you can check out my other podcast, Post Ponies, which is a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and the rise of American fascism. It's me. It's three other trans gals. We are fucking psychotic, and it's great. It's great shit.
It's a very good time.
You can find us at smallgayhorse.com.
Gigi, edit the episode.
Edit the episode. We love
How's
you.
How's that? We love you, but woof, edit, woof. Please edit the episode. Woof, 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 bark.
Woof, bark.
And that's it.
Would you like
that's
a Scooby snack?
Would you like a Scooby snack?
That's it.
That's it. We did it. Get out there and buy the products.